Good evening, old school Renaissance anchorites. Steve here. Dice Roll Zine Ramblecast number 12. Tonight's topics: starter sets and box sets. A preview of Dice Roll Zine number 2, my OSR zine. Dumbass Metalhead DM tricks. And an OSR metal shoutout. But first, some fucking metal! Hey folks, so I want to start tonight by talking about starter sets and box sets. Do you like starter sets? And do you like box sets? I absolutely love them. The results have been hit or miss over the years with the ones I've gotten, but I absolutely loved having a whole box of gaming goodies that you dig into your stuff and you got all kinds of cool shit in there. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to turn around here at my desk in my office, and I'm going to look at my shelf, and I'm going to grab a box set off of it. And this is the first box set that I ever got, the TSR Dungeons & Dragons Fantasy Adventure Game Basic Set with Introductory Module. Now, this is the 1981 edition, the Moldvay Basic Dungeons & Dragons edition. This was what I cut my teeth on for role-playing games, as I talked about in a previous episode. This is my favorite box set of all time. It's got the rule book in it, the red rule book with the Arrow Lotus artwork, which is just fucking amazing. And it's got Keep on the Borderlands B2, the module that came with it. And I've still got the Gateway to Adventure, the catalog, the 1981 TSR Hobbies Inc. catalog that came along with this box set in my set here. So that was my introductory box set to role playing. Before this box set, I actually had a Xeroxed copy of the rules by a friend when I started playing the Dungeon Master Mark. His mom worked in an office, and I didn't have a set of the rules, and I desperately wanted one, so his mother was generous enough to take his copy of the rule book and take it to her work and Xerox it for me. So there you go. I mean, 1981. We still call it Xeroxing. So that was actually my first copy of the rules, and then I got this box set. The other box sets that I have, I'm just gonna look at my shelf here and go through them. I have the Holmes edition, basic Dungeons & Dragons box set. I have the one with the chits in it, which I got years and years and years ago. This was after the basic Moldvay set, actually, that I got this. At any rate, so there's that one. It's the blue Holmes book with B1, In Search of the Unknown in it, the module. The other box sets I have are the World of Greyhawk red and gold box set with all of the two soft cover books in that. I don't want to say rule book, setting books. A catalog of the Lands of Flannis and the glossography. Nice word there, Gary. Glossography of the Greyhawk setting. Now, I've since lost all of the wonderful Darlene maps over the years for that box set, but that's one of my favorite box sets as well. The other box set I have up here is the first edition Forgotten Realms campaign set, the gray box set. This is one of my favorites as well. I mean, this was Forgotten Realms for me. This was the Forgotten Realms. These two booklets, the DM Source Book of the Realms and the Cyclopedia of the Realms, I ran a Forgotten Realms campaign in late first edition and second edition AD&D era. I ran it. This Forgotten Realms was. I know it doesn't sound very old school of me, and I'm sorry for those of you who are older than me that don't like that. But fuck yourselves, doesn't matter. I loved the Forgotten Realms at the time because they encouraged you in that set to make it your own. And it, of course, it went on to become a great bloated mess of fucking shit. But at any rate, the original gray box set, Forgotten Realms, you're not going to find much better than that. And I think a lot of gamers of my vintage would agree. The other box sets I have here, there have been a couple of really good starter sets that have come out for Pathfinder and for 5th edition Dungeons and Dragons. And oh my god, 5th edition Dungeons and Dragons and Pathfinder on an OSR podcast. Oh my god, what are you doing, Steve? Yeah, I know. Just bear with me here, all right? Because, which one do I want to start with here? Let's go with the D&D starter set for 5th edition. Now, this starter set, this is super cheap. It was like 15 bucks or some shit like that. And it's a box set. Comes with a set of dice. There you go. You heard them, I assume. It comes with an adventure, Lost Mind of Phandelver, which a lot of people praise, a lot of people think is shit. I actually, when I haven't actually played through all of this module or run all of this module, but I've run portions of it, and I kind of chopped out a lot of crap, but like I do with every module, I think most old school people do, but it wasn't actually that bad for an introductory module. And it's got a starter set rulebook in it as well. It's kind of the rules you'll need to get started to play this adventure, I guess you could say. And of course, the core rules being available for free. Well, that's a whole other. I could do a whole podcast about that. The core rules. I kind of like what they did there for 5th edition. But at any rate, back to the starter set. You've got character sheets here, pre-gens, with all the stuff printed out on them, which I think is a pretty cool feature. So this, I think, is a fairly decent introduction for 5th edition Dungeons and Dragons if you are into playing that or want to experiment with it or try it out. The starter set is something I would recommend before going and buying all of the core rule books. I would buy the starter set in a heartbeat if you, before buying all of the rule books. If you were gonna, like, maybe you wanted to introduce your kids or, you know, some friends maybe who didn't play role-playing games, and that'd be a good option if you wanted to do a newer game. Now, the other box set I have here that I'm going to talk about is the probably my favorite newish box set, the Pathfinder Role-Playing Game Beginner Box. Now, this, it's not a system for everybody. It's very much third edition D&D-ish taken out. Everybody knows what Pathfinder is. I don't need to fucking describe that. But this box set is actually pretty good. I like it here because here I've got a whole bunch of ancillary stuff I've put in here. Let me take that out. You've got your Hero's Handbook in this set, which basically describes how you get started with the game, the basic four classes, your traditional core four, your fighter, your rogue, your wizard, and your cleric. And how to create them, characters, what the basic introductory abilities and powers and all that kind of stuff are that the characters have, the racial descriptions and spells and skills and feats and equipment and basic process of playing the game. Then you've got the Game Master's Guide, which is a 96-page book, which is basically full of monsters, really. And some encounters, and some hints and suggestions on how to build encounters, build adventures. I kind of did a little bit more detail on the Pathfinder box set and the D&D 5th edition box set, because I think most people know about the older box sets already, or at least people who'd be listening to this stupid podcast anyway. So yeah, so that's these. the Pathfinder one is probably my favorite of all the newest ones. And the other thing is they've got these 2D full color monster die cut cards. And these are pretty heavy duty and they come with bases. So you can pop those out, stick them in the bases, and use them on the battle mats, which are also included in here. So all around, it's a good, cool box set. I've also got the ancillary stuff I mentioned earlier. I've also got a bunch of Game Mastery map packs and a whole bunch of other maps and stuff that I've put into this box set as well. So that's the handy thing about it. It's a nice, big, thick, sturdy box. And this thing isn't going to get destroyed. Sorry, I'm just stuffing it back onto my shelf here. So yeah, so box sets. Other than the ones I mentioned, do you guys have any particular favorite box sets? Like, I'm just dealing with D&D ones really here. Anybody? I know there's all kinds of other stuff. I mean, some other box sets I have are from like Warhammer and stuff. Like, I have Death on the Reich, which is a great box set as well. A big adventure with all kinds of handouts and maps and cool shit like that. So if there's any box sets that you guys like, feel free to call in and let me know about them. Maybe I don't know what they are, or I have never encountered them. I'd love to hear about them. But I love box sets because you get lots of stuff in them, and it's cool. You can put your other materials and your own adventures and your character sheets and all that kind of stuff and take it around with you. So box sets rock. They're expensive, but they rock. Dice Roll Zine number 2 preview. Oh, I need to whip my palate here. I'm having a Headstock India Pale Ale by Nickel Brook Breweries. Now, where are they based out of here? Sorry, I'm just grabbing my beer. Bear with me. Burlington, Ontario. So, Headstock India Pale Ale. This one's pretty good. It's nice and tasty. 7% alcohol. Wow, it's strong. I didn't even realize. There you go. No wonder it's so tasty. But, oh, sorry. I'll probably edit that out. Dice Roll Z number 2. So, last fall, in the fall of 2017, I released my first OSR zine, Dice Roll Zine. And in that, I had a whole bunch of crap. Really, there was a mushroom in kind of a science fantasy setting for adventures, and I had a barbarian class in there for basic expert games, and I had a bunch of random tables for dungeon dressing type stuff, and I had some maps in there. And just, you know, kind of a collection of stuff like that. So Dice Roll Zine number 2, I'm hoping to have out by Christmas time. This issue will have details about the city-state of Kreth, which is sort of the big city from one of my home campaigns from a bunch of years ago. Which is kind of a magic, rich, fantasy, sciency blend, very Appendix N type setting. Now, the city-state of Kreth was the major sort of hub of civilization in a place called the Wastelands of Kreth. And so I've got, I don't know what it is, 12 or so pages in the zine, 10, 12, 16 pages, something like that. Devoted to this city-state in here. Basically, what I've done is I've taken my notes from my campaign. I've just kind of polished them up a little bit. We've got kind of an overview of the city, and I've got a wonderful artwork by Del Tigler of the city itself. Kind of an overview look looking down upon the city from above, if you're kind of like eagle's eye kind of view. Where I talk about the unique laws in the city state, the factions, the big factions in the city state, different types of currencies there, common services, places to live, housing, stuff like that. You got a rumors table, you've got an adventure seeds table, and I've got sort of random tables and a very, very brief description of each of the districts in the city state. There's 9 districts, and each one kind of fits in one column on a ha or one column on 2 columns on a page. This is digest size. If that makes any sense, I probably described it poorly. But you've got basically an introductory sentence that describes the district. You've got notable locations for each district. There's going to be between 6 and 12 of those, I guess. Or no, 6 and 8 of those, I think, for each district. The major locations there, just the names of them. And then we've got random encounters and random locations for each district. So it's just kind of an easy sort of thing. It's very portable to other systems. So I've got that for each district, and then I've got encounter tables. So from the random encounter tables for each district, there are sub tables as well that you can roll on for the random encounters, like adventurer and citizen, or city official, members of the city watch, creatures, cultists, guards, things like, city stuff like that. And then we've also got the something strange table, which is a D20 table for something strange that you roll. And then I've also got some creature stats for monsters and NPCs and whatnot that you would commonly find. Because this is a weirder city state. There's a flying sort of citadel above it, a palace called the Imperium. Imperial. Imper blah, 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 blah. There's a palace flying above the city state. And that's where the God Emperor lives. And so there's tech. And he's got like laser cannons and spotlights that shine down from his palace that kind of oversee the city. Anyway, I don't want to describe it too much. But it's sciencey, magic, techie, fantasy stuff. So that's one of the things in Dice Roll Xene number 2. Another thing is the Accursed Temple of Azazizl, which is a little adventure I've got. It's like 10, 12 pages, something like that, which is an introductory, well, I should say introductory. It's a low-level mini dungeon, basically. It's this temple in the swamps of the wildfire swamps of the Fungoid Forest, which was where my campaign was located in the Wastelands of Kreth. So where the city state was, this is a dungeon that was located nearby. In a swampy area, and it's basically some priests of this temple, this nice temple, were corrupted by evil, turned into undead things, and you go in there and you kill a bunch of them. So the kind of different thing about this, and what I like to do with a lot of dungeons, is there are a couple of interesting sort of NPCs in there that you can meet, which might help you or might hinder you, depending on how you interact with them. They're not just nameless, faceless NPCs to kill in the kinds of dungeons that I like to do. So, but this is not—it's not a huge dungeon. It's not a dungeon crawl. It's just a mini—I guess you call it a lair dungeon. It's basically an evil temple. You go in there, you kick the shit out of things, and you take the treasure. You interact with some interesting NPCs. So there's also that's going to be in Dice Roll Xene. I've also got a sorcerer class in here for Swords and Wizardry Complete. Basically, it's kind of a combination of the sorcerer, I guess you could say, from I guess kind of third edition D&D, sort of the concept of the not memorizing spells, free casting spells, that kind of concept. And I've mixed it with having fewer spells available than a magic user, especially at lower levels, but you're a bit more flexible. And I kind of blended it a little bit with sort of the more moderny kind of warlock idea in D&D, where you form a pact with a patron, and your patron helps to teach you magic and allow you to gain powers perhaps a little bit more easily than a magic user might later on. at higher level spells. But there's a drawback to that when you, there's pack spells which you kind of get to boost up your lack of normal spells, but there's a risk with those, and it's called black magic for the sorcerer. That's what I call it anyway. And there, you can miscast those things. There's a danger to using these extra powers. So that's kind of there's a sorcerer class there that's available. It's what else have we got? I've got some life path generation tables in this issue as well. So basically, kind of think of the old, if any of you have played it from Cyberpunk RPG, they had life path generation in that, where you had some interesting things happen to your character. Or if you want to go back to, I guess maybe more of you old school people would probably think of the central casting books from back in the day, where you'd basically roll to discover the various stages of your life, your family history, kind of status you had, stuff like that. I have some tables similar to that in this issue as well. It's not going to be as nearly as immensely detailed as something like central casting, but it's more detailed than something that you would find in like in the old Cyberpunk RPG. So it's kind of in between those two things. The other thing I've got is well, there's a Fuck, there's so much more in this. I mean, it's gonna be like a 50-page zine. I've got some alternate class abilities for fighters and magic users as well. Fighters have things I call dirty tricks, and magic users have things have an ability called arcane study, which allows them to identify magic items and things like that. It's not spell based; it's just a natural ability you got. So anyway, so that's kind of a preview of what I got happening in Dice Roll Zine 2. So I hope is going to be out by Christmas. I really hope I can get it out by then. But yeah, I mean, there's lots of cool artwork in it. Del Tigler, like I mentioned, has done the cover. It's a wraparound cover, like my first issue. He also has another piece inside. I got Dennis McCarthy has done a few pieces here. Who else have I got here? Brian Glad Thomas has one. I've got oh, well, that's for the cannibal halflings. Okay. Yeah, not your Dark Sun variety. It's just I got some goofy cannibal halflings. Well, they may or may not be halflings. That's up to you to decide. But at any rate, so Brian Glad Thomas did the illustration for those guys. I absolutely love it. And some of the other artwork I got in here. Sorry, I'm just scrolling through the. Oh, Michael Clark did the sorcerer illustration. And I've got some of my own crappy artwork in here. Yeah, I've dared to dabble with doing some artwork, and it totally sucks, but I'm gonna put it in here anyway. So anyway, there's a Dice Roll Zine number 2 preview.
Steve's dumbass metalhead tricks of the trade.
So what I'm gonna do for this is talk about something that a lot of you probably know about, and it's Rory's Story Cubes. Now, for any of you folks who know what these things are, basically, it's a little box about the size of a deck of playing cards, and inside are 9 dice. And what you can do with these things is basically you roll the dice, and there's little icons in each die side, and you connect the die rolls together and turn it into a story. I mean, that's one way to do it. You can generate kind of an adventure idea from that. So, like for example, I just pulled out one of the die here. There's a beer mug, there's a knight's helm. There's a wagon, there's a bow and arrow, there's a morning star, and there is a cottage. So you can roll these dice in various ways. I mean, you can generate a story with them, but what this set in particular that I have, the Fantasia set, I like to use these as random tables. And that's really what this dumbass metalhead DM trick is about. The story generation stuff, that's normally what you would use Rory's Story Cubes for. But my hack of that is to actually use them as random item generators. So, like I just described to you, you've got bow and arrows, you got a beer mug, you got knight's helm. I use it as random contents for, say, rooms or packs or chests or things like that. Then you grab some other dice in this set. I'll grab another one here, and this one is good for encounters. Like, for example, this one's sort of a Greek theme. We've got a temple on top of a mountain. We've got a boat, sort of Jason and the Argonauts thing. We've got a minotaur here. We got a cyclops. This is great for random encounters. There's just different creatures on it in different places. So you can say, hey, this is what you encounter. So another dice, just grabbed another one. We've got a trident. We've got wings on a boot. We've got a Medusa. You see what I'm saying here with some of the themes with some of these things? We've got death paddling a boat. We've got a chest opening up Pandora's box. So there's lots of cool little mythical stuff on these dice. Here's another one where we've got a troll on one side. We've got a dragon on another. You got a guy hanging from shackles. You got a gate, like a castle gate. You've got a wizard on this die, and you've got a potion on this die. So it's great for random encounters, random items, things like that. So Rory Story Cubes. There's all kinds of cool things on here, whether it's items, whether it's locations, whether it's adventure seeds. You can take these dice and you can just roll them, whether it's in-game or whether you're trying to generate ideas for an adventure. Rory Story Cubes are cool, particularly this set, Fantasia, because it's kind of themed, like I was describing, more towards, you know, Greek mythology and fantasy stories and stuff like that. So it's another way you can do it is if you've got a map, you can roll these dice, just put them on them, roll them onto the map, and that's what's at that location, you know? I mean, you want to pick the specific dice to do that properly, but, you know, it's something you can do. Now, the last thing I want to talk about, oh my God, we're at 35 minutes already. Fuck, I shouldn't drink while I'm doing the podcast here because I get really rambly. So I've got an OSR metal shout out. Nickel Brook Brewery. I highly recommend them. So my OSR metal shout-out for this episode is going to be BX Essentials by Gavin Norman of Necrotic Gnome. BX Essentials has become my new favorite retro clone D&D type game. I don't really know if it's fair to call it a retro clone or not. It's basically the basic and expert rules from Moldvay, kind of cleaned up and edited and formatted to make them easy to reference at the table. Gavin's done a great job on these things. The cover art is actually quite evocative. I don't remember the artist's name off the top of my head, so I gotta look through here. Andrew Walter. So he's the cover artist, it looks like, for most of them, because the style is very similar. And this is cool as fucking shit. I love the artwork on these things. And Gavin's kind of got some neat colors, so it's easy to identify which of the books is which. So I've got all five, I think, that are out so far. And each of them are small. They're, you know, like 30-odd pages or less for the most part. A couple of them are maybe 40 pages or so. But you've got core rules. You've got classes and equipment. Then you've got cleric and magic user spells. You have monsters. And then you have adventures and treasures. So it's everything that you need to run basic and expert games. And easy to reference digest-sized books. Now, maybe I'm predispositioned to like this particular set because Basic and Expert Moldvay Edition was what I grew up playing. That was my start, as I've talked about before. So maybe there's a little bit of hometown favorite going on here. But what got me into this set, because I mean, I've got all the original rules sitting on my fucking shelf, so I don't need this, really. So maybe, I'm sorry, Gavin. I'm not trying to put your books down. Quite the opposite. I think this is a great re-expression of the rules in a more modern, slicker, kind of easier to reference format. But I didn't need to get these because I got all the rules on the shelf. But a lot of those rules are as good as the Moldve and Cook Expert Edition books were organized. These are better, in my opinion. So fans of that edition, it's worth your while to look it up, BX Essentials. I have been playing Swords and Wizardry White Box, which has been kind of my game of choice. Specifically the Fantastic Medieval Adventure game by Charlie Mason, his edition. I've got so many copies of that, it's like insane. But that had been my preferred system for a few years. And I switched over to BX Essentials. And I must give Matt Jackson, Matt Random, here on Anchor, although he's kind of been like me, I don't think he's done a podcast for a little while. Matt, I play with Matt as often as we can. I play in his group, his Prolg game, which started out actually as a white box game, but has switched over to basic Expert Essentials. Playing in his game and getting familiar with these rules was actually really the impetus for me to switch my own home game over to the BX Essentials, because we were having such good fun playing it, and Matt's such a good DM, and he's fun to play with. And yeah, he inspired me playing it in his game to switch to this rule system, and it was kind of like putting on a comfortable old pair of shoes, right, that aren't worn out, if that makes any sense. You know? Anyway, so I'll leave it at that. So thanks to Matt for that. And thanks to Gavin for coming out with such a great edition of the BX rules. I mean, these are really, really cool. So go Google that shit, the shit out of that. BX Essentials, Gavin Norman, Necrotic Gnome. It was Productions at one time, but I guess he's not calling it Productions anymore. At least the later editions of these books, or the later books, don't have that on it anymore. But now I'm rambling, so I think I've run out of things to talk about, so I think it's time to cue some more metal. Feel free to call in and let me know what you folks think. Thanks for listening. Later.
Hey, Steve, this is Larry with Follow Me and Die. Just got done with your latest Ramblecast. Good episode. I started off with the Holmes Blue Box Basic, so that was definitely a starter set up to third level. And it said you had to get AD&D when it came out, so we waited with bated breath for each release of the AD&D core books. My set, originally back in the day, did not have the module. I didn't even know that a module was available in that until recent years, because I had like the monster and treasure assortment sheets, and I guess it maybe had, what is it, some geomorphs for dungeons or something like that. It's been so long, I don't remember. I gave that to my youngest brother when I went to college, and supposedly he's got it somewhere. The box was smashed flat when I gave it to him, and I think maybe the cover fell off, and I still have my original dice. And this is Larry again, part two. I've heard other people say that the Pathfinder starter set is a good one. I'm trying to remember. I've heard that half a dozen times at least for different people I've heard, either on podcasts or YouTube videos or so forth. And I really like the Phandelver starter set. I hope I can actually run that someday. I'd like to play it before I run it, but that hasn't worked out. But starter sets can be a good and inexpensive way to get into the game, especially since the PDF of the rules is free for all the base classes. That's even better. You only really need the rules if you want to get fancy with different classes than the base. So good episode, and keep it up.
Hey, Steve, it's Ivy, the Happy Whisk. I went back and listened to your very first podcast, because that's pretty much what I'm doing with everyone, going back and listening to their first one. It is so much fun. I hope that you keep continuing. I saw you updated yours, so you have a new one out. Very cool. And that's about it. See you in the next podcast.
Stacey! Good to hear from you, man. It's Colin, Spike Pit. Rory's Story Cubes. I always forget I've got them. And every couple of months, somebody talks about them and I have to dig them out again. I've already dug them out this time. I'm picking up my little girl from school, and when I get home, I'm going to be checking through them, sorting out some nice Rory Story Cube goodness. Glad to hear you've got another zine coming out. It sounds like a whopper with some great stuff in it. So hopefully loads of folks will get their hands on that, and sounds like I'll be joining the queue. So I look forward to another episode from you soon, man. And you left it too long between episodes. And all the best, mate. Catch you later.
Hello, Ramblecast listeners. This is Steve C. It is a Wednesday night, November 21st. I had a few callers call in from my last episode. And stupid, idiotic... hasn't done a ramble cast in 4 months. Steve forgot to check if he had any messages over the past few days, and I finally remembered to do that tonight. So my apologies for not getting back to these quickly. I guess first off, happy Thanksgiving to all of you folks south of the border. I hope you all have a wonderful, Thanksgiving week. It seems like you Americans take the entire week off. So I work for an American company, so I kind of know a little bit about that. At any rate, callers. So, I had calls from, Larry Hamilton of the excellent podcast, Follow Me and Die. I love that title. That's one of my favorite titles of all the podcasts, Larry. The Holmes Blue box set. You were talking about that. That's a weird one for me. It's kind of like the missing link box set for me in my D&D kind of history. I never really played it. I've had it, and I kind of went from basic and expert to advanced rather than from homes to advanced, kind of how you were talking about. It's one of those things I've always had, never really played it, been kind of influenced by it, I suppose. But the Pathfinder box set, the beginner box I have a love-hate relationship with Pathfinder. I didn't mind playing it. But I fucking hate running that goddamn third edition type D&D stuff. It pisses me off so much. But it's actually a rockin' box set. The graphic design, they could have done a little bit better, but it is pretty good. Who else did I have to call in? Oh, Ivy of the Happy Whisk. Welcome to podcasting, Ivy. Thanks for calling in. And I hope you managed to make it through all of my boring podcasts. Some of them are short. Some of them are ridiculously long, like this past one. So you might get to that one. You might not. But, I've got something for you, Ivy.
C is for cookie. That's good enough for me.
There you go, Ivy. And the last caller I had was Colin from Spike Pit. How you doing, mate? Thanks for calling in. You're absolutely right. It's been way too fucking long since I did a podcast. And I hope to be able to do them more frequently again. I got sidetracked with so many things going on. But thanks for calling in. And the zine, I hope it lives up to be a whopper, as you wonderful English folks say. hopefully I can get it out by Christmas, and we'll see if with people like it, and I hope you do too. So thanks again, everybody, for calling in, and we'll talk to you again soon on the next Dice Roll Zine Ramblecast. Bye for now.